Welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for The Walking Dead on AMC. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we're back to do the feedback episode for 1006 Bonds. Aaron, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with a question? I feel like we should just blast right into these questions, get us started, and then we can talk
blast
about
blast right into
whatever.
The questions. Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
All right.
Guys, do you think I should continue to watch Walking Dead after just seeing four seasons?
I think they asked, like, I think the question was whether the Fear the Walking Dead should continue past this current season. And unfortunately, I'm not following The Walking Dead. I've heard very mixed reviews about, like, I heard it got good, and then it got bad, and then it got kind of good, and then it got silly again. So, like, I don't know. I don't have an opinion. I am going to definitely see The Walking Dead through season 11. If they come out, if they ever do come out with Rick movies, I will probably see those. Depending on how the season 11 goes, I'm also interested in like potential Daryl and Carol spinoff, but we'll see because like I haven't even looked at the world of the walk or whatever the new series they've got.
I say continue it. I say do 11 seasons of every spinoff, because why not?
All right,
I mean, the real answer is they'll continue it until it doesn't have the viewers to continue it, right? Or
yeah,
they've spun it off into three other shows.
And that's the real question about how much staying power The Walking Dead has once you finally say goodbye to the original series and cast. And yeah, I think that's why they're hedging their bet with the Carol Daryl spinoff, because like those are the only OG characters left, really. That's correct, isn't it? Like if you go about season one
I
characters.
Think so.
So that's them hedging their bets of like, well, if everybody else drops off, there'll still be enough diehards to follow Carol and Daryl. I mean, like I said, that's where I draw the line. Like, I don't really, I would have to hear that some of the new spinoffs are like literally the best television, like better than the season one of the original, the Frank Darabont run. Like, it's really serious prestige drama, because I don't inherently hate the zombie drama series. I love what they're doing on Kingdom, the Korean medieval zombie take. I've enjoyed zombie stuff. It's just, what was that one? Pontypool? God, Pontypool is a really cool take on zombies.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that they would have to, because I've seen the Z Nation shit. I've seen the Walking Dead come Z Nation shit that we've been getting in the last season or two of this. I kind of would. The only thing I haven't seen is like a really prestige, like serious taking this shit, you know, making it very ultra realistic, very atmosphere and creepy. Like that's the one thing I could get sucked into, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, potential spinoffs with Daryl and Carol and what that might be or what might lead to that. And it feels like they could be setting them up to get cast out of this community for their fuck ups. I don't know how far they're going to take the Whisper plot this season. You know, if it comes to its conclusion, it seems like another season of that lingering wouldn't make a lot of sense, right? That needs to come to a head at the same time the Whisper stuff does.
Yeah.
But I could see them, you know, having to pay for their actions by being, you know, shown the door.
Yeah, they could be real pariahs. For sure.
Get enough Alexandrians and Hilltoppers killed.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about Oceanside. The show doesn't care about Oceanside.
They're just you mean the training facility?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The source of fish, I guess. All right. Let's try this one more time.
Hey, I was wondering when you guys would show up here. Welcome.
All right. Hey, I was wondering when you guys would show up here. Welcome. Thank you.
I feel welcome. Yeah. I feel welcome. I was an interloper in the space before, but now we're here and I'm glad you found us. I'm not sure if this is just a general stereo well wisher or an old bald move fan. It's also a stereo fan, but thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what the next one is.
So Eugene's made first contact. If you guys were in the post-apocalypse opening, the hailing frequencies, What's your protocol? How do you go about making sure things are secure, or you're not triangulated, or you know, you don't have a crazy person showing up at the door?
Lies. A lot of lies.
Yeah, I guess. So the triangulation you can't do anything about. The only thing I think seriously you could do is just make sure the community is like, hey, I've got this thing, can reach out 200 miles, 300 miles, 400 miles, 500, whatever. Like, what are we comfortable with? You know, what should happen if we make contact? Should we like devote, like, should we get like put 24/7 on this? Like every 15 minutes you make a call, you listen for people, you work the dials. Like, are, you know, are we going to take this seriously or what? Because that's the thing. It's like, I think there's a lot of benefit risk reward here that Eugene's doing. It's just that he, like Carol, is taking on all the risk unilaterally without discussing it with people. And I don't know, maybe he has and they haven't shown, and they're, but he's definitely not disclosing the fact that he made first contact. Mm-hmm. The other thing is like, yeah, like if you're not going to if you can't do anything about triangulation, I mean, I guess you could, you'd have to like take your ham stuff and move it every day, right?
Yeah, I think what he does is he loads up his super radio onto an AV cart and he wheels it out to the dump, to where the trash people were living.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, if somebody shows up, just say, this is where I live. It's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I'm the trash ham man.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing is, I get you just not, you know, it's the same way you tell your teenagers on the internet, like, don't divulge your age, sex, location, real name. Don't do that. Be very vague. You know, you can talk about where you're from or something like that, but like, don't give any too many, and this build up a relationship. And the thing is like, I don't know how. It's kind of like, you know, I used to, when I was like, because I was a teenager that was on the internet before like people knew about the internet. My mom and dad certainly had no idea. I was like a 14, 15 year old talking to like literally anyone online, all the weirdos from the old early days of the internet. But in my mind, I always knew that like, well, this is fake. Like, I will never meet these people, you know. Then later in life, I grow up and I meet people that I've only met on the internet. But like, I think that's the other thing is like, are you just, like, where do you want it to go? If you want it to them to meet up, then there's got to be, like, anytime you meet anyone over the internet for the first time, it's got to be in a public place, right? You don't want to meet them at your home, because what if things go bad and they're in your home?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to meet, like, hey, you're somewhere in Tennessee and I'm somewhere in the Baltimore area. We're going to meet somewhere in Eastern Kentucky around Chattanooga or some shit like that. And then, at a bit, or you meet back at the train museum in Pennsylvania, something like that, and you build kind of trust that way. If a serious answer, yeah.
I mean, what he's doing here is super risky. I got a feeling though, that going into season 11, if we're trying to wrap this show up and give some glimmer of hope at the end of it, that this is going to turn out to be a larger civilization, who has these protocols in place, right? Is not giving up their information lightly like she's doing.
Right.
And that this is going to lead to something good as opposed to something, just another thing, right? Because we've been through this 15 times with 15 different groups of survivors. We don't need another one of those. What we need to do is build toward an ending that can be satisfying. And that seems like the perfect opportunity. Find another civilization, build trade routes between something more than just this group of survivors. Show us the world coming back together.
Yeah, I agree. And the show's established a large, well-organized, benevolent organization, and Georgie and her project to reboot humanity, is on the up and up. Maggie's been spending it's going to be really interesting when Maggie comes back next season to kind of figure out what the fuck has been going on, how much of that's true. We also see that there's a well-equipped, well-funded, organized, nefarious organization that's rounding up people, working
trash people. Yeah,
that working with the trash people who seems like they're a little bit sinister. So there's both of those possibilities. We know we have both the Vulcans, the peaceful, logical Vulcans, and we also have the warlike, bellicose Klingon. You know, we have both of those empires. I guess it would be more interesting to, you're right. Because the other thing is, like, I guess I want to push back a little bit. It's like, it's not like that we've only met belligerent civilizations. Alexandria, you know, was a benevolent, the kingdom was a benevolent civilization. Hilltop was benevolent, heading towards some kind of fascist dictatorship of incompetent Gregory before
Gregory was a shit.
Before our group deposed him. But like, you know, it's not like they've had zero success finding like-minded people, but it would be more interesting for the benevolent overlords, like, and like more hopeful. It would be more of an optimistic end.
Yeah, so the difference there in my mind being that they now have a civilization that can interact on those kinds of levels, right? Because it's always been our plucky band of survivors roaming the woods and stumbling upon a place that they can stay. It's never been like, we have this thing that we've built and now we need to connect it up with another group who's built a thing. Mm-hmm. That I'm going to find interesting.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, they've done it on the small scale, right? In the local, you know, wherever the hell they are right now, but not quite Baltimore area.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see them take it worldwide.
I mean, yeah, that's like these, you have, I mean, it's kind of like the emergence of the state that happened at the collapse of the feudal society. Like, it's just, that's all happening in high speed, you know? Like, tribes are forming into communities. Communities are forming into states. States are forming into like that. That would, I always think that's neat. Like, mm-hmm. I've really liked seeing the development of a government and a justice system and trade and all that. Like that, I think that stuff is fascinating. So that would be, you know, a way to like build the world that much bigger. I do wonder where Daryl and Carol fit into that. Like, if they have this hopeful, optimistic, Alexander's about to join a brave new wider world, which that's kind of a loaded term, brave new world. You know, does that mean that like Carol and Daryl are the misfit Luddites, or like the heretical excommunicated people, the people that have been banished outside the tribe because they can't get along? Like, that's
I mean, that's, you know, a possibility, certainly, like I talked about. But I suppose it could also be like, well, they don't need us anymore, right? We're the people who get things done. This society is getting its own thing done. They don't need us. Let's go off and it's just spin off another series. But yeah,
those
that's
type
weird.
Of characters, like, what is that? Is that like Norman and Melissa's ride? Like, they're just going from place to place, killing people.
It doesn't sound engaging week to week. But
those folks were nothing like the Alexandria. It's too bad we had to put them all to the sword. Well, maybe we'll have better luck next week. It's like an 18. It's like it's like an AT&T or not AT. It's an A team of nihilism and death, mm-hmm. rather of like going around and helping people. You're just like, you know, passing judgment. This civilization sucks. We're killing them all. I don't know. I don't know how you make a spinoff from that.
I don't know. We'll see. Let's see what the next. Yeah.
Spinoff a new voicemail.
Holds.
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers get to exercise their voting fingers again this week with another prestige movie poll. This week's nominees are Mystic River, The Last Samurai, and Secondhand Lions. Take your pick and seal our fate.
This Monday on the premium feed, we open up the books and deliver a State of the Empire podcast, talking about the current condition of Bald Move and our plans for this year.
This Friday, it's Lunch 420, which given last weekend seems like a tragic missed opportunity. Ah, well. Lunch will be served piping hot at 1 p.m. Eastern. Come join live or warm up some leftovers when lunch is released in podcast form later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content plus ad-free feeds.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping.
Hey guys, who do you think is catfishing Eugene on the radio? And is it Dante when he's not working in the doctor's office?
You know,
he's using a soundboard to pitch his voice up a little bit. Wouldn't it be hilarious if it's Maggie Green? She's just like right. rolling. She's got her new friends. Her and Georgie just rolling.
Uh-huh.
Well, we got him to give his name in like 6 hours. This is hilarious. You said it'd be 3 days before he'd give us his full name and location.
She's going to come back and hang him. I don't know, because that's what she does with fools.
She's going to have him swinging from the new kingdom apartments that they're building. Kind of swinging from the yard arms. Yeah. That would be the funniest thing if it's Maggie Green and Georgie. Just say this next. Really lean into his train thing. I didn't know he's in the trains. Oh my God.
Get him to talk about his ponytail. Get him. Talk him. Come on.
You know, I just in the old days, you know, not many men are brave enough to wear him now, but oh God, a mullet would just get me going so hot and fast and hard.
Ask him about his girlfriend. Ask him.
Yeah, no, that would be pretty funny. Or the other is like if it's Jadis, you know, she's like, it's these dipshits. Oh, it's Eugene.
Yeah,
I think that's the funniest.
I would hope those were both true. They've teamed up.
Mm-hmm. All right. They know just enough about him to know exactly what to feed him to get him they're just fucking with him.
Hell
poor guy.
Yeah.
Poor guy, right. Eugene. Jesus.
Try the next one here.
Oh, hey, what's going on, Bob? I'm saying, hey, what's up, like you know me. But I used to listen to your podcast on The Walking Dead with you and the other guy. I forgot his name, but and y'all stopped. Didn't y'all stop because it got boring after a while, something like that? But I'm glad you're still talking about it.
It took a worldwide pandemic of no television before we're like, Jesus Christ, I guess we'll come crawling back to The Walking Dead.
Ironic.
But and also it's like it's always been me and Jim, but we also occasionally would have on like Jason C from the
Podcastica.
Podcastica, but it's the Walking Dead cast, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe also the other thing we did way back is we used to have a guy named Mad Brew, but that was on for the Game of Thrones. But I can barely keep this straight. I don't expect everybody wandered in, but it's cool. It's cool that you've rediscovered us. Yeah, we're starting Walking Dead. We're hoping to get caught up in time for season 11 to start up.
Honestly, I'm happy to be back. I'm having fun with this. I'm just not taking it seriously. I don't get worked up about it. I don't try and like piece together, you know, why they're doing the things they're doing. It just, you know, just enjoying the ride at this point.
And it is better. I will die on the hill that this is, if this was the quality of the show, if they'd cared about the show this much, it would have completely changed the trajectory of The Walking Dead. It would certainly change the trajectory of us covering it. So I'm glad they found a showrunner that cares just enough about the continuity and the characters to do them justice and still has a little bit of fun with it. You know, they found the way. They found the way.
All right, we got one more here. Let's get to it.
So you guys talked about how it seems like you're digging Negan this time around. What is it you think he could pinpoint, maybe, that makes you like the way he's doing things now versus seasons ago when he was just unbearable?
Doesn't bounce as much. I don't know. He seems like more of a human being and less of a character.
Yeah, like Negan, like many people, was forced to be on this treadmill because there's no reason to stretch out the Savior's conflict for like 3 seasons. Wanted to. So like, you know, Negan was an unchangeable character and he just had like, you know, the dialogue was the same. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's performance was the same. You know, much has been made about like he just like put the baseball on his shoulder and leaned back and kind of, oh, Rick, what are we going to do? You know, it's like it's the same shit
and
over
and
over and over again.
A lot of that, right? They're using him pretty sparingly now. Like you'll see him in an episode, but it's not like the main focus of the episode. Or if it is, it's one of the last 10 you've seen. So,
or it's a different frame, like, you know, Negan, you know, endearing himself to Judith, that is a different look. And like, I always liked this, the relationship that they, I wish they leaned more into the relationship he had with Carl, because that was stuff that kind of humanized him and he got out of his shtick a little bit. Like what he did to the young man last episode, I thought was really good. Not the one he beat the brains out of, but the whole,
I thought that was good too. Scene. I thought that was real good actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Beating the brains out of the idiot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think seeing him in different, the fact, like we talked about it this episode, like just seeing Negan do his shit to people that I genuinely don't like is a lot more entertaining than seeing him doing it to people that I do like, you know? And, that was the other thing, is like, I could never get a beat on Negan because he just had this theory that just manifestly wasn't work with the Alexandrian people, that I can cow and fear these people into submission. And it just made them that much tougher and resilient and stronger and more determined to get the upper hand and fuck you. So, and that was the other thing. I think the real deal behind Negan's storyline is he got too big for his shtick to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was effectively running a post-apocalyptic cult of personality. And once you try to like franchise that, it stops working nearly as well, you know? Like when the cult leader's there to bash your brains out, everyone stays in line. When the cult leader's off at some satellite location, you haven't seen him for a couple weeks and you're just collecting tribute, that's a lot harder. You got to have a standing, you know, standing military. And it was just inevitable, I think, for his empire to collapse. And it was just
why you got to take over a town in Oregon and just, you know, have all your followers live there with you.
Yeah, you gotta have a compound. Once you mm-hmm. get beyond the compound, you've lost your grip. So, and seeing him kind of turn, like, you know, because I think that Negan probably came by as bullshit, honestly, you know, like, yeah, if 99% of the world turns to zombies and are tearing people to bits, like there's not a lot of wrong answers in terms of like how you live your life. You know, there's not going to be a cosmic referee. It's like, well, you stole the can of beans from a hobo there. Sure, you lived another day, but at what cost? At what cost? You know, there's not that scoreboard. Now that is that being established, he's like, ah, shit. And I think is genuinely repentant. Like, God, what if I'd done things this way? What if I'd done things that way? But I'm sure we're going to see his tragic backstory and, I don't know, sympathize with him a little bit. But
yeah, I'm good with that. I mean, like I said, all that serves to make him more of a human and less of a character. And I like watching what feels like real people on screen, even if they have quirks, which Negan certainly still has many quirks. Yeah. It's just not all he is. He's more than that now.
And same with, you know, Eugene would have gotten old if all he was the dude that talked funny and wet his pants whenever there's a zombie around, right?
Uh-huh.
But even Eugene has grown to be a lot more than that. Father True. Gabriel used to be fucking insufferable until they started adding some texture to him and giving him a couple of, you know, not just flaws, but also admirable qualities, you know, to balance that stuff out. So like Negan's the same way and he's just doing the same shit over and over and over again. No end in sight. Very boring. When he's doing stuff, it's unpredictable and he's doing, you know what you're getting with Negan, but now it's turned loose in the enemy camp. That stuff is kind of fun to watch. But that will get old too. Like imagine if he spent the next 2.5 years just kind of like trying to fit in. His whole arc was, you know, Beta's not going to believe him and Alpha sees his potential and he's just got to try. Imagine if he went through like 26 episodes of that arc. You would be pulling your hair out and screaming at that too. But yeah, a couple episodes, sure, why not?
All right. One final
let's
one.
Call
here.
This the last, let's call this the last one.
Yep. Yeah. Because it might be a response to this. We'll see.
Hey, so, you know, I remember there was another Bald Move fan who recut, I think it was season 2 or something. I mean, I could imagine like a Kang cut, right, of the earlier seasons, maybe like the Gimple era, right, and have Angela Kang go back and recut some things, because you could easily, you know, make shit that didn't make sense make sense. The Glenn going out into the dumpster, just take the scene from the next episode when he is seen sliding under and make that be where the scene ends, and it all makes sense. I mean, many things like that that are just stupid mistakes can be recut, you know?
For sure.
I would be tempted to just have him cut it together where he just beats out Abraham and Glenn to death in the same night, and you just condense a whole season there.
Glenn comes out from under the dumpster and immediately gets bashed with the bat.
No, you just cut all that shit out with the shitbag son. Wasn't that the son of Reggie and the president of Alexandria?
One
of their ne'er-do-wells. I think that, and you're talking about Liver Dad's fan edit of the Walking Dead. I think you look at how much money Warner Brothers has plowed into this fucking Snyder cut, right? Mm-hmm. And there is this interesting tantal, and everyone, you know, some people have said it's this, almost everyone says it's a much better thing than they originally produced, which they also spent $100 million to reshoot and fuck up, apparently. I think there could be an argument for like The Walking Dead rekindling some of their glory by having like a deluxe box set of, like, I don't know what you would call it, because it would take a lot of corporate humility. And I don't know what you would do with like the Producers Guild and Directors Guild and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like there's two, but like, I think I would definitely be interested in seeing something like that. Like a slim down, just the story. The non-fat and fluff parts of The Walking Dead, because there has always been a very well acted and good looking show with compelling characters buried under all of the weight of bad writing and dumb studio decisions and budget cuts. There's always been that there.
Yeah, it'll never happen though. You mentioned the corporate humility it would take, and that's certainly true, and a lot of it, and maybe AMC has that. But the other problem here is that Gimple ran 60% of the last 10 seasons of The Walking Dead, and he still show runs Walking Dead shows. He's the overall
creative force behind
the Walking Dead properties. There is no way that he would take the slap in the face that it would be to have somebody go in and recut his terrible shit to make it good. He won't do it. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still a great idea for a fan project.
You know? Like it would be great. I would like to see it. It'll never officially happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's too bad. It's too bad because that's the thing. It's like, there's so many people you'd have to get to sign off on, like, hey, we're going to fuck with your creative vision.
Right.
And it's a lot of the same people that are going to want you to do that are the same ones that probably, because I think that Scott could probably make a case of like, look, you know, I tried and people,
he
some
doesn't
of it, like
everything I've seen, does not say he has that in within him.
Right. Like I made AMC a lot of money. I did the best I could with the restrictions they gave to me. Angela's done it better. Great. Whatever. But like, yeah, fuck. Like I could see him saying stuff like that and being like, no, fuck you for saying it's all my fault or whatever, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I've seen a few episodes of Talking Dead with Gimple on it, and he does not seem like the guy who is willing to admit a mistake or.
Yeah. And I even remember, like, I even remember, you know, when he kind of took over on The Walking Dead, like the way because we never were a big insider podcast. We didn't give a fuck about talking to actors or writers or whatever. Every once in a while we did. When it fell into our lap, but we never sought that out. But a lot of shows did, and they got pretty frosty if you said anything critical about the show. And I'm talking about like core of the suck, season 6 through 8, like saying like, oh, you know, I can understand, like, just saying stuff like, I could understand why the fans are upset with the Glenn dumpster fire situation could get you blackballed. And like, and I heard that was all Gimple. You know,
yeah,
this is not my direct knowledge, but I heard stories, and I know what what it felt like for the winds of change to blow through the community. And, you know, the Gimple's the obvious kind of target for that stuff. So, yeah, fuck him. But
yeah, and we can say that because we don't seek out interviews. We don't
AMC is not going to
rely on their.
They're not going to participate in the making of our podcast, Jim. What the fuck will we do? Oh, my God. We won't get interviews with. Goddamn Lincoln anymore. Holy shit. What will we do without that? So, yeah.
And I'm happy to be in that place, because I can just say what I really think about this show And, you know, it's gotten better under Angela Kang. It was kind of shit under Scott Gimple. I don't know how his other show is turning out, but I doubt it's great. I doubt it's great.
I've heard anecdotal evidence that, like, Fear of the Walking Dead was shaping up to be a pretty decent show, and then he took it over and it went. So maybe he's just not good. Maybe he's only good writing an episode here or there. He can't show run a show. Who knows? But I couldn't. I don't think I was like, I certainly probably could not do a better job show running, but
no. It's hard, but also there are people who do it well, and he's not one of them.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for a feedback edition. Again, if you'd like to send us long form feedback, do so at watchingdead@baldmove.com. In a couple of weeks, I think right after episode 8 of this season, we're going to get around to kind of having the feedback roundup. We're getting, you know, that'll be at the halfway point of the season. We'll have 8 weeks to go. It looks like we're going to catch up in time for the earliest. I haven't heard a concrete date yet for The Walking Dead to return, but we should be ready for it to return. Unless they're going to do something crazy, like overlap half of the current season of Fear with half of the season of The Walking Dead, we should be able to catch up in time. So we'll see how it goes. Thanks for participating in feedback. Appreciate everybody brave enough to leave us some live feedback on stereo.com/baldmove. If you want to get on that, we do this podcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. We simultaneously stream it to stereo.com/baldmove and twitch.tv/baldmove. And if you want to give the live feedback, it's the Stereo platform. It's a free app. You can just leave us live feedback. But we'll do this again next week and for season 10, episode 7. And until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See you later.